Just want to welcome each one of you in the house of the Lord again. And I pray that you're going to have a blessed time here. And we're all going to feel the presence of the Lord. I do love Sabbath. You know, Sabbath is a time when we can set apart all the things of this world and all the troubles or the problems. And maybe we don't, you know, the troubles are going to come knocking, Sabbath or not, but we can have a choice to decide what we can do and what we cannot. Our choice should be to be closer to God. And truth being said is, if we bring our troubles to God, He will give us a different perspective, and we will see that our troubles are not as big as we once thought, when God is there and He guides us. I will pray that each one of you are going to get a blessing from the message presented today, and pray that God will continue to guide us and help us understand what we need to do. But before we start our presentation, I would like to take a minute and make our profession. I would like to raise your Bibles. And let's all repeat together. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the Word of the Living God. And I covenant with Him that I will study every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you heard our profession. We want to be like you. We want to be closer to you. And Lord, we want to ask you, we don't dare go ahead without your presence. That's why I would like to ask you to guide my voice, guide my thoughts, and help me to make the message that will be presented today to be a blessing for each one of people that are present here, and also to be a lesson that we're going to learn and grow. And Lord, help us not only to listen to this message, but to apply it in our lives. We are weak in when we try to do changes, Lord, but we can be strong if you are present, if your presence is in our lives. We can do all things through you. And Lord, help us to make the changes that are necessary for us to live a life according to your will. Be with us during this presentation. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. We did started our discussion about the health a while back. And we did talk for three times. And I would like to go back and do a review, because it has been so long ago. But unfortunately, we don't have the time, the luxury of time. So we're going to go directly to I need to talk today. What do you think? Is the health important? Does God cares about our health? The answer is yes. Health is important. And how important it is? You don't know how important the health is until a simple cold happens to you. And then you feel miserable, you don't feel like doing anything. And a simple cold is something that is going to be passing by. But the health is affecting us in ways that we don't even realize it. And we realize it when we do not have the health. And yes, God cares for our health. He does. He created us beautiful in the beginning and healthy. And also He provided everything for us, directions on how to live and how to preserve the body He has gifted us with. And these directions are, you know, given when we are facing sin. You know, we are living in a world full of sin, where the sin and destructions and suffering is present. But God, even in these conditions, He gave us directions on how to take care of our bodies. And also, more than anything, he gave us the promise that he will restore our bodies when he's going to come to take us home. And God does care. In the previous presentation, we talked about health and lifestyle. And we learned that the lifestyle has a great influence on our health. And if we are going to try to put two and two together, we are Christian, right? And we're supposed to have a Christian lifestyle. And if we believe that God wants us to be healthy, the lifestyle he gives us as Christian is to keep us healthy. That's right? So, what I would like you to think about it, if we are not healthy, do we represent the lifestyle God gives us? We know that there are many problems, there are many factors that come when it comes to health. And sometimes the health, it's not because we have done something wrong or we just we don't respect the health laws. Accidents happen, but these are in a God's plan. But something that we can do, the lifestyle diseases, it should not be present in a God's people. The God really wants us to be healthy, and the reason, you know, the proof, it's in the text that we have read today, where it says that, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be healthy, just as your soul prospers." People may say, "Oh, it's John that wrote this," you know, but John, who was John? John was God's servant, his prophet. And if he cares so much, if God's man cares so much for his friend to pray for his healing and for him to be prosperous in health, in everything, how much God wants us to be prosperous? In the next presentation, I do plan to have more presentations. And what we do plan to do is just talk all the health lifestyle diseases and talk about them, get an understanding what's happening, what are the causes, what we can do to change them. And I just want you to remember the last time when that was on the previous presentation, and it's showing us the 10 major causes of death in the United States. And all of them are: heart diseases is number one, cancer number two, chronic low respiratory diseases number three, unintentional injury, stroke, Alzheimer's disease, diabetes, influenza and pneumonia, kidney disease, suicide. If we're looking at all these illnesses, a majority of them are caused by, the lifestyle has an influence on them. And we do need to know what changes we need to make in order to prevent to become a statistics like it is, this one. The number on the list, it's heart disease. And that's what we would like to talk about this. And it's a big subject, so I think I'm going to stretch it on more than one series, because people said, okay, cut it short, don't have it so long, you know. So I will try to make it to fit into the time that, you know, for people to understand it. So what is the heart disease? According with this statistic, says about 169 people in 100,000 people have died of heart disease. It's a big number if you look at the big picture. So what is the heart disease? Heart disease describes a range of conditions that affect your heart. Diseases under the heart disease umbrella include blood vessel disease, such as coronary artery diseases, heart rhythm problems, and heart defects were born with so like congenital heart defects, among others. We will go back to this definition in a little while, but in order for us to get a better understanding on how the disease process happened, we have to go through an anatomy lesson. I will try to make it as less complicated as possible. And I will try to present it in simple terms, but just don't be fooled, because the heart and the circulatory system, it's so complex and so wonderfully made together that when we look, we can only say with the psalmist, "I'll praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your work, and that my soul know it well." It is important to know, to have this basic knowledge about the anatomy of the heart and blood vessels, because otherwise we may not understand how the diseases affect our body and what we can do to change it. Now, here is a picture of the circulatory system. And this system is formed from a heart in the middle and connected with different tubes, okay? So, and it's a closed circuit system. It's not open to anything. You know, the blood goes from one side of the heart, goes travel to the body, and goes on the other side of the heart. And it's going all over, and it's just coming and going in a continuous motion. On the left side of the heart, first of all, about the heart. Heart is the center of operation, and it's an important part. I can say essential, because without heart beating, we are good as dead. So the heart is a main thing. If we are not taking care of, if we don't take care of heart, we don't know what diseases affect our hearts. We may, you know, our life may end sooner than when we want to, or God plans to. So from the left side of the heart, right here, there is this big blood vessel called aorta, and it comes out of this left side and carries blood to every organ of the body. And it's a very big one. It comes out of the heart, but as it goes, it splits and becomes smaller and smaller. It goes on the lower part and goes takes blood to all the internal organs, liver, spleen, digestive tract, kidneys, that will be legs and trunk. And on the upper part, it goes, takes blood to the brain and to the arms and to the upper part of the body. As you see, there is half it's red and half it's blue, okay? In a real body, it's not like this. The red goes all over the body and blue gets all over the body. The only problem, they want to illustrate the red part, it's the blood, it carries blood that carries oxygen and nutrients to every cell of the body. And so it goes and carries everything. And as we go from the big blood vessels, the blood vessels are getting smaller and smaller as they branch out. And they get as small at the cellular level that sometimes the blood cells have to go in a single file. So it's that small. So on this part, the blood has full oxygen and nutrients. They go to the cells. In the cell, they leave the nutrients and the oxygen and they take out. And on the other side, the blue part, they are carrying away the waste and the carbon dioxide. And all the blood cells are getting together and they go in a big blood vessel that come on the right side of the heart. And from there it goes to, and keep in mind that because this blood with all the waste, it goes to the kidneys where some of the toxins are filtered out. It goes to the liver where some other toxins are filtered out. And from there, from the heart, goes to the lungs where carbon dioxide is filtered out and oxygen is put in. We do need to keep in mind that, you know, this machinery, this wonderful machinery, works day and night. And the heart beats about 60 to 100 times a minute. So if the a blood cell goes from the this part of the heart and just go very quickly, so in 1 minute, 60 times the heart is pumping, 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 pumping. And when you're looking, this is very simple, for, you know, but when you're looking at the working of the heart, you can only explain, you know, it's a marvelous system that it's put in place. The most amazing feature that keeps this, that keeps the heart, about the heart is that heart, it's a muscle, but at the same time, it's an electrical pump. So besides being a muscle, it's an electrical pump. This is the, how the heart looks. They have, the top heart has four chambers, two on the top, two on the bottom. And if you, usually the top one, they have one-way valve, the blood goes on in one single direction. So the blood does not go back up. And again, on the left side is the same story. If you're looking from a different angle, the heart, it has a left side and a right side. The left side is where the blood is carried full with nutrients and oxygen goes to the body. And on the left side, it's where everything comes full of waste and carbon dioxide and goes wherever it's needed to be cleaned. Now, there is a wall between the left side and the right side. There is not connection. The connection is only on the from top to bottom, but there is no connection left to right. And another component that we would like to talk, it's about the electrical part of the heart. It's known that every cell of the heart is able to generate electrical impulse. All every cells in the heart, every muscle cell in the heart generate electrical impulse. The only problem is they generate it at a different paces. The top part right here, The top part right here, it generates about 60 to 100. If you go lower, it's usually 40 to 60. And if you go even lower, it's about 10 to 30 beats per minute. So, and what God put in place for this heart to work wonderful, there is a certain spot right here where it generates the electrical impulse. And when it generates the electrical impulse, the both the top of the heart is just squeezing together. That kind of makes the squeezing motion. And once the squeezing motion is in place, then the blood is empty on the bottom chambers on both sides. Then at the same time, the electrical impulse goes on this point right here between the chambers. And then there is another squeeze that goes and empties the bottom part of the heart. And that's how everything works. Isn't this wonderful? it's nothing short of a miracle how the heart is working. Are you with me so far in the, this anatomy lesson? Okay, the next part, I would like to show you some how the arteries look. The top, it's an artery with four layers of cells. And the bottom, it's a vein, and they have, again, four layers. One, two, three, four. Yeah, four layers, plus they have the valve that is in there. We probably, I don't know if we're going to have a chance to talk about the arteries, the blood vessels, in a detail the way I talk about the heart. But I would like to go back to the definition about the heart disease. And as we were talking about the definition says, you know, the heart disease is not one disease. There are more. They are different. Some of them, they are affecting your, because the heart is part, the heart disease is part of the circulatory system. You cannot take the parts separately and the blood vessels separately. They are one unit. And what affects the blood vessels affects the heart. What affects the heart affects the blood vessels. So there is a relationship between them. That's why sometimes the term of heart disease is often used as interchangeably with cardiovascular disease. Cardio means heart, vascular means the blood vessels. Cardiovascular diseases refers to conditions that involve narrowed or blocked blood vessel that can lead to a heart attack, chest pain, or stroke. Other heart conditions, such as those that affect your heart muscles, valves, or rhythm, also are considered forms of heart diseases. Diseases that are affecting the heart are including coronary artery diseases, and coronary artery diseases are the blood vessels that feed your heart. So out of the big blood vessel that come from the heart, there is a very small vessel that goes and feeds the heart. So the heart is fed by the blood that it's coming. So when there is a problem with the arteries that feeds the heart, that will be one of the diseases. And usually a heart attack, that's what we consider to be a coronary artery disease problem. There are also heart rhythm disorders, atrial fibrillation, ventricular fibrillation, heart blocks. They do affect the heart, and that's caused by the problem is with the electrical part of the heart. Congenital heart defects, it's usually the diseases that are you are born with. Sometimes there is a little opening between the walls, between the, I was telling you, the left side and right side, they don't communicate, but sometimes babies, they have a little hole that can, the blood can travel there, so that may be one of the congenital heart diseases. And heart muscle disease, which is diseases that affect the heart itself, and that will be congestive heart failure and also valve problems, because some of the valves, they are not closing properly, or they are, and that can cause problems. The other diseases that fall in the cardiovascular disease is the stroke. However, there is a disease that is not mentioned there, and I really, in clear conscience, I cannot go over, and that will be hypertension. Hypertension is not considered a heart disease, but it's one of these diseases that affects the heart and affects the blood vessels. The majority of the information I took about this are from American Heart Association website. The hypertension is defined as when your blood pressure, which is the force of the blood flowing through your blood vessels, is consistently high. In plain words, the blood pressure is the pressure the blood exerts against your blood vessels. And we do need to have a certain amount of pressure in our blood vessels, because that's what keeps everything moving. It's like a water hose, you know, you have the water going, and you know when the pressure is low, the water does not go where it's supposed to. Or when the pressure is too high, it's either the jet is very strong and damages things, or it reaches so far. And the same story here, you do want to have the right amount of pressure in your blood vessels to reach all the organs, and for the organs to be fed and everything, waste needs to go out. The problem with the blood pressure is that it has a different name. It's called silent killer, because many people who have high blood pressure, they don't know they have it. There are no symptoms. You can be a walking person doing everything you wanted. You don't know that you have a high blood pressure. And they said about 1 in 3 adults, so 1 in 3 people in the United States, they have hypertension, and about 20% of them, they don't even know it. The only way that you know that you have high blood pressure is just go and have it checked out. As with many other heart diseases, the lifestyle has a role to play when it comes on high blood pressure. And usually there are two different causes for many of the diseases. And one, we put them into two categories. One, it's modifiable, and one, it's non-modifiable. Modifiable means that you can do something about it. Non-modifiable is just comes as it is, and it's a package you have to deal with. Among the non-modifiable reason for hypertension are heredity, and your parents, you cannot choose your parents or your relatives, and if high blood pressure tends to run in a family, if there is parents who have high blood pressure, you may get it as well. Another cause, it's age. The older you get, the more likely you are to develop, to get high blood pressure, because sometimes the blood vessels are getting stiffer. They are not as elastic as they were when you were younger, and that may be the cause for increasing blood pressure. Gender also has it's an important factor. Men under 45, they usually develop high blood pressure more than the women the same age. Between 45 in 60, there is about an equal amount. You know, the men and women get the same. And after 60, the women tend to have more high blood pressure. And race also, it's another important factor. African-American people tend to develop high blood pressure more than anybody else, any other races. Among the modifiable causes, lack of physical activity, unhealthy diet, and when we talk about unhealthy diet, a diet that is high in calorie, high in salt, high in unsaturated fats and sugar. Being overweight or obese, it's another that can cause the high blood pressure, and carrying too much weight puts an extra strain on the heart and the circulatory system. Drinking alcohol, smoking, and stress may be some other causes. What I would like to say about the causes, you know, they are something that we can change, something we cannot change. The good news is that, you know, what we can change, the modifiable, the way we live, the physical activity, diet, can affect the first, the non-modifiable one. You know, there are people who have high blood pressure running in a family, but if they adopt a healthy lifestyle, their they may not develop high blood pressure, or the hypertension can be on the mild side. So the modifiable aspects can influence, or it can happen later in life. So they influence the when and how or how much it's affected. The blood vessels are affected. As I mentioned before, the high blood pressure, it's a silent killer, because many times we don't have symptoms as we have with the low blood pressure. The low blood pressure, they do have symptoms, and also you do need to address the low blood pressure. So the best prevention is to know your numbers and make the changes that will affect you and make you able to manage, to prevent or even manage the high blood pressure. Why is the high blood pressure bad? What's happening is when the pressure in the blood vessel, it's higher than it's supposed to be, the pressure can cause tears in the inner part of the blood vessels. And when these tears, even small tears in the blood vessel, can cause problems, because our body is so wonderfully made that it knows when something is not right. So when there is even a small tear, the body sends cells to, okay, go and repair that. And there are more cells that are trying to work. And the blood flows continuously, you know. So it said, okay, what's happening here? Let me gather some things. So cholesterol starts to build up. So from a small tear, it can become a bigger one. And even if those tears are repaired by the body, the blood vessel, it forms a scar tissue. So they are getting not as elastic as they were once were. So it can cause blood cells to cholesterol to accumulate and forms a plaque right there, which is it's kind of obstructing the way the blood flows, and also can make the blood vessel to be stiffer than they supposed to be. And that in this way the blood pressure can damage our blood cells. What can we do about the high blood pressure? How can we control the hypertension? First line of defense is just to know your numbers, know if you have high blood pressure or not. And the only way we are talking about is just try to have it checked. Go to your physician, check it at your, there is a Walmart store where the pharmacies are, check it and see how it is. These are the numbers for the blood pressure. The normal blood pressure should be less than 120. Usually the blood pressure has two numbers. There is a top number, a bottom number. The top number is systolic, and the bottom number, it's called diastolic. So you have two numbers. If it's normal, it should be between below 120 over 80. Pre-hypertension, it's 120 to 139, and the top part and the bottom part will be 80 to 89. High blood pressure, stage one, it's 140 over to 159, and the top part and the bottom part, 90 to 99. High blood pressure, stage two, it's 160 or higher on the top side, and on the bottom part, it's 100 or higher. In hypertensive crisis, which is an emergency, if your blood pressure is higher than 180 on the top part and the higher than 110 on the bottom part, the hypertensive crisis, it's an emergency because it can create many troubles. It's a cause. A stroke can happen. Heart attacks can happen. At that high blood pressure, the blood, it has so much pressure that it's kind of weeping, taking everything, and it can rupture the plaque, and the blood clots can lodge in a very small vessels and can create problems, which is stroke and high blood pressure. Now, so first, just know your numbers. That's very, very important to know, for us to know. If your blood pressure is within normal range, it's, let's say it's normal, less than 120 and less than 80. What you can do, just try to live a healthy lifestyle and just keep in mind, activity has a very important role to say. Diet has also a very important role to say. The weight we carry around on us has another role to say. I assume that we are in the church, so we don't use alcohol or smoking. But these are two aspects that we do need to pay very close attention. And according with the advice we have, we should not partake of any of this. And stress is another aspect. So these are things that you can do to prevent from a high blood pressure to happen. Increase exercise, be careful about your diet, just have a healthy weight, and control your stress. If your blood pressure is outside of the range, maybe between pre-hypertension, high blood pressure stage one, or high blood pressure stage two, what I do suggest is just talk with your physician. Talk with your physician first. Medications are often used to control the high blood pressure. But keep in mind, the medications are not, they don't address the causes, what causes the high blood pressure. They only control the symptoms. So it makes you to feel, make your blood pressure to go down, but what caused the blood pressure in the first time is not going to be taken care of. So we have to work on two plans. First, just take the medication to bring the blood pressure to a level that it's not going to cause problems to your body. And second, try to adopt the changes that will address the problems that are causing the high blood pressure. In the case that the numbers are higher than 180 or higher than 110, if you are at the doctor, usually they're going to call 911 and send you to emergency room. Or if you are somewhere where there is not a medical professional, please go and be seen. That's very, very important. And there is another thing that we can do. We are God's children. And as always, we should come before Him and always ask Him for wisdom and guidance. We may try to do everything we can in our power, and our blood pressure still can be high. But God is the one that heals. He is the one that provides. He is the one that is keeping us healthy. So we always should include Him in our treatment, in our lifestyle, in everything we do. We should go to God first. And we should ask Him for direction, wisdom, strength, in guidance on what we need to change, how to change, and to give us strength to make the change lasting. I'm positive that God, it's in God's will for us to be healthy, and He will answer our prayers. This is all the information I have so far. But next time, we're going to talk some more about some other heart problems, like heart attack, what are the causes, what we need to do, how to identify it, and some other heart diseases. But in the meantime, I do pray that God will keep us safe and will keep us within His will until He's going to come and take us home. Amen. Here is the desire that He has for us. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, again, we are coming before your throne of grace, Lord, to thank you because you allow us this Sabbath morning to listen to your messages. Lord, we know that you want us to be healthy, and you have prepared everything for us to be healthy. You give us enough directions in your Bible, and you guide us in each and every day. Lord, we are grateful for all the love and the care you pour upon us. But Lord, we are weak. We are not strong enough to face everyday temptations. We know that many of the things that happen to us is because of our choices. Lord, give us wisdom, give us strength to make the right choices. Help us to grow more closer to you, to know you better, and to know what you expect us to do and how you expect us to live. Lord, at this moment, we want to ask you to bless you and keep us. And Lord, we ask you to make your face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. And Lord, please lift your countenance upon us and give us peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.